As always, Brian and Arlene and Brandy, we thank y'all for that music. If you would look in your bulletin, you have a sheet there that has the verses and the points and some blanks for the sermon this morning. If you want to use them, great. I just always want to point out and remind you that they're there for your benefit if you would like to use them. We are looking and we are in a series that I have entitled Thanks Living. And we are looking at the different ways and the different things about that we can be thankful for as we work our way up to this Thanksgiving season, Thanksgiving holidays. I think if we thought about it, if we were honest with ourselves, if we looked at it, we would realize that probably the most important thing in our lives is what we believe or what we believe about God. I think if we would be honest, we would realize that it affects every area of our life. There is not an area in our life that our belief about who God is and what God does, it doesn't affect it. If you have a distorted view about who God is or what God does, if you have an inaccurate view about what God, about God, if your background, can be distorted, and it'll change what your view is about God. The media, everything that we see and hear over the news, over the radio, over television, newspapers, magazines, whatever it is, it affects, or it can distort, on the negative side, I guess, our view about God. What other people tell us about God can affect us, can give us insecurities, it can distort what our view is about God. And sin can distort it. So there's a lot of things that can affect it, but the truth of the matter is what our view is and what we believe about God affects every area of our life. Because of something that's inaccurate, if you have an inaccurate view, I have talked to so many people that have an inaccurate view about what God is like and what God does. You can tell it by the way they view God. There are those that think God is this impersonal force. It was kind of brought to the forefront, I guess, with Star Wars and may the force be with you kind of force. And there are a lot of people, that's the way they view God. God is up there somewhere. He's way off yonder. Doesn't really play a part in our lives right now. Yes, we're okay with that He created everything. Yes, we're okay with that He offers salvation. But in between, He's just kind of over there watching us. Some people have a view about God that He is this kind of intolerant parent. That He's always just watching, ready to scold us, ready to get on to us, ready to deal out punishment when we do something wrong. Talk to some people that even view Him as a cruel tyrant, that He establishes rules that we can't keep, that He makes a goal, puts a mark in the sand that we can never achieve. Some people see Him as unrealistic. Some people see Him as the indulgent cosmic grandfather that just pats us on our head and says, oh, well, you messed up. It's okay. Do better next time. The problem with all these is if we don't have a true relationship, if we don't understand what God is like and what God does for us, then it affects all these areas and we get these weird theologies and weird ideas about what God is and what God does. And so that's why I want us to look at this morning, still using that passage in Ephesians, that we might understand how deep, how wide, how long God's love for us, that we might truly understand. And I want us to look at, I can live a life of thanksgiving because God cares for me. Now, He has shown that he cares for us in a lot of ways. We looked at last week that we understand that the way he shows that he cares about us is that he loves us and that he sent his son to die for us. But I want us to look at also, we can tell that he cares about us because of what he's done for us, that we can live this kind of life because he cares. So the first point, God cares enough about you and I. He displays that he loves us by the fact that he revealed himself to you and I, that he reveals himself. If I've learned anything from the book by Randy Alcorn about heaven, I have learned that unless God reveals it to us, we can't get our heads around it. Amen? Unless God chooses that he wants us to see it and that he wants us to understand it, it just is not going to happen. There's too many things that our brains can't comprehend. He uses the illustration, and I'll share it with you, that for us to understand everything about God, it would be the same for us to pick up an ant off from the ground and set that ant up on a table and begin to explain to him the things about our life and expect him to understand it. It ain't going to happen, is it? So we know that God cares about us because he chose to reveal himself to us. He chose to give it to us in a way that we can get our minds and get our heads around it. Now, obviously, God wants us to know him and know what he's like because he's given us a lot of different avenues or a lot of different ways that he has done that. The first one, he has revealed himself to us, number one, through creation. Is there anybody here that would doubt all you have to do is get up early in the morning, or get up at midday, or get up in the evening, whatever time you want to get up, but just walk outside and spend about 10 minutes witnessing this great earth that God has created. Amen? You can just look at it, and anybody that would say, well, it just happened by accident, is foolish. Because something that beautiful, something that complex can't happen by accident. Amen? It had to have a plan. It had to have something that pushed it forward. We can look all through earth, around in God's creation, all throughout the world, and we can see some things about God. I want to give you just a three or four, something like that, about this. When we look at creation, we can know, first of all, that God's organized. Look at the human body. Look at the environment. Look at everything about our world, and you would understand that God has some organization, doesn't he? He has placed things, and there is a balance. If you doubt that, just let your body get out of balance. Just take some type of medication or something that gets the chemical balance unbalanced. And you'll figure out pretty quick God created us to have a balance, didn't he? Same thing with our ecosystem. We've seen it. You've seen it when the introduction of an oil spill or whatever the case might be, you change the balance of it and everything goes awry, doesn't it? So we understand that God is a God of organization. He has balance. We can tell that from creation. We can also tell that he's powerful. Now, all you have to do is look up at the sun. All you have to do is stand out in a windstorm. All you have to do is stand out there and witness a rainstorm come up, and you will realize the power that's available. Amen? We can't get around it. We can't get around that God is organized. We can't get around, or through creation, we can't get around that God is organized, that God is powerful. But also, aren't you glad he's creative? We understand and we see it that he is also creative. If there's any doubt about that, just take a minute and look around at everybody sitting in this room. You see, God could have very easily made us all look the same, couldn't he? He could have just cranked up the cookie cutter and made us all the same size with the same color hair, the same color eyes, the same body types, everything. He could have just done it all the same. but he didn't. He wanted creativity. I told y'all, I think last week, two weeks ago when we were in Virginia, I enjoy going to Virginia during the fall. It is so beautiful down there. And all you have to do is just take a few minutes and recognize, just drive around a little bit and see the beauty of Virginia. But you know what? We have some beauty here too, don't we? All you have to do again is just get on Facebook for a few minutes and you'll see all the pictures that people post of sunrises and sunsets and being out on the lake fishing and deer hunting and everything else, and go out and just be out in nature. Be out there with what God created, and you'll understand he's pretty creative. And finally, also, we understand that he is a God that loves beauty. Think of the colors that God has created just for our enjoyment. I told y'all last week, he could have made it all gray. Could have all been in grayscale. It would have been all right. But instead, he created it in vivid colors so that we can enjoy it. So we understand that from creation, we can understand some things about God, that God reveals himself through creation. But there's a problem. If the only reference point that we had was creation, then we would miss out, wouldn't we? So God had to show us another way that he cared about us. He had to reveal himself in another way so that we completely get our heads around who he is and what he does for us. And that's the second thing underneath this, how he revealed us, and that is that he came to earth in a human form. See, all the things that we couldn't figure out through creation, we can figure it out because of Jesus. Amen? Because Jesus displayed it for us. Jesus was the example of it for us. Luke 2:32 says, Jesus is the light who reveals God to the nations. When we look at Jesus, we understand that we can see God. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what Colossians tells us. Colossians 1:15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. We can know what God's like. We can understand what God's like as best we can through his creation, but also through that Jesus came to die for your sins and for my sins. He came and entered into humanity. Now, Jesus tells us in John 14:9, anyone who sees me has seen the Father. Jesus made a lot of statements like that, didn't he? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to me except for the Father. He said, I am the door. I'm the bread of life. I'm the water of life. And when you think about it, that was really a pretty bold statement for a human being to say. If I was to say that to you, rightfully so, y'all would look at me and roll your eyes and say, poor Brother Mark didn't get enough sleep. But it's something different when Jesus said it, isn't it? Because he is, the scripture testifies, that he is the visible example of what the invisible God looks like. Jesus told some stories to help us to understand what God was like and how God felt about us and to reveal himself about us. In Luke chapter 15, is what's very unusual, he didn't do it very often, he told three stories with the exact same common denominator, if you want to say it that way. He told us three stories that had the same exact point. In chapter 15, he tells us about a lost sheep. There's 100 sheep. One of them wanders off. The shepherd leaves the 99 to go find the one. Then he tells us about a lost coin. We don't know exactly what the coin was or why it was so important, but it was important. It was lost. And so the woman of the house begins to literally tear her house apart, cleaning, doing everything until she finds the coin and places it back in its place of prominence. And then he tells a story about a lost son, a lost boy, and talks about how he gets his inheritance and he goes off and he squanders it. And while he's way off, when he finds himself with pigs, he begins to realize that he's not where he needs to be. And so he returns back to the father and basically has a time of confession to the father about everything that he's done wrong and how much he's blown it. And the father accepts him back and they have a party. And you say, well, we know the stories and you know, the common denominator there is that something that was of value was lost. But how does that reveal to us something about God? How does that reveal to us? How does God revealing himself to us? Well, that's exactly how he's doing. That's what it reveals to us, that he cares enough to seek after us. We have this term that says, okay, well, I found Christ, or I came to Christ. And we begin to get this idea that we're the ones that took the initiative. Now, I know we don't necessarily mean, we're not trying to be contrary to what the scripture says, but we need to understand, if God had not taken the initiative, we would never have tried to find Christ. Amen? It's because, amen? I didn't hear anything. I was making sure y'all got. You see, just like the sheep, just like the coin, just like the son, that which was lost had value to the owner, and so the owner did something about it. And that's what it reveals to us about God. That's how when he revealed himself, he helped us to understand that we have value. And he was going to seek after us till he found us. See, when we understand that, it helps us not to have a distorted view about God, doesn't it? All of a sudden, a God who would seek after us so hard doesn't sound like a cosmic tyrant, does he? Doesn't sound like a cosmic cop that's just patrolling around looking to give us a citation. Now all of a sudden he sounds like a loving father. Just like the father in that story, that all the time the son was gone, he loved him. All the time the son was there working with him, he loved him. And when he returned back, he still loved him. It's the same way for you and I. So that reveals to us, and that's how God reveals himself to us, that we can understand. Puts it down at a level where, in comparison, us little ants can get it in our heads. Amen? So first of all, he reveals himself to us. The second thing I want you to see, it shows us how much he cares about us, is by the fact that he rescued us. Now, your first thing is, you may say, and not necessarily you, but us as human beings, we may say, rescued us from what? What did we need rescuing from? We weren't on the top of a house with the floodwaters around us. Yeah, we were. We just didn't realize it. He did rescue us. First of all, what he rescues us from is our guilt of our past. He rescues us from the guilt of our past. Most people that I talk to understand we are not perfect. We quit batting 1,000 a long, long, long time ago. And we have blown it. And if we got the punishment that we deserved, it would be a separation, total separation from God, because that's what the scriptures tells us, isn't it? For the wages of sin is death. But we also find out that Christ died to rescue us from that penalty of sin. Really, what I'm trying to say is God said, because of sin, my justice demands that somebody pay for the wrongs that's been done. But with that same breath, he says, but my love demands that I will pay that price for you. Justice demands the penalty be repaid, but love demands that he is going to take care of that. He's going to pay that price for us. He's not going to eliminate it. He's not going to excuse it. He's going to pay it. So he rescued us from the guilt of our past. What I really like, though, I mean, I like that pretty well. That means difference between heaven and hell, doesn't it? But what I also want to make sure you understand is he did not just rescue us for something at the end of the train ride. He rescued us for the here and now. And that's the second thing is, and that is that he came and he rescued us from a meaningless life. You can say that in the positive. He came and gave us meaning for life. John 10:10, Jesus said, I came to give you life and life in all of its fullness. He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm afraid the bulk of our society doesn't even realize they're not living. They're just existing. They get up. They get a cup of coffee. They get ready. They go to work. They work all day. They come home. They eat a meal. They spend some time maybe in front of the TV, maybe sometimes with their family. They go back to bed. They wake back up, and they get back up, and they go back to work, and they just do that whole cycle all the way through. And they think that's living. But Jesus says, that's just existing. That's just surviving. He wants us to live. And we live when we have meaning for our lives. And that happens when we develop a relationship with him, isn't it? The third thing, though, also, not only did he rescue us from guilt of our past, not only does he rescue us from a meaningless life, he also rescues us from the fear of death. Now, I can't make this point, and this point really got emphasized through reading the book by Randy Alcorn on heaven. I want to tell y'all, I've gotten done with it, by the way, Arlene. I'm all the way through the book. Thank goodness I've been able to sleep the last couple of nights now because I got read through the whole thing. There is some fantastic things for us to look at about heaven. And we're going to look at them here in the future. And so I really encourage you. I know we'll talk some about it Brian's going to talk some about it on Tuesday nights, but we're going to get looking at it on Wednesday nights as well. But one of the things that it did that in him rescuing us, it rescues us from the fear of death. Death is that universal black mark on the calendar, isn't it? It is that universal question mark. Everybody has questions about death. But because of what God did for us, he rescued us. What Jesus did for us, he rescued us from the effects of it, from the finality of it, if I can say it that way. Jesus said he came to set those who were enslaved free, those who were enslaved. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. We need to understand there's going to be an end, isn't there? There's going to be a transition. And Jesus came and died that we might be rescued from that fear. Now, you may be sitting here and you may be saying, Brother Mark, are you one of those that believe in a real heaven and a real hell? I can tell you, yes, I believe in a real heaven and a real hell. No question whatsoever. Come on Wednesday nights and I'll explain more because I'm holding to my promise of not chasing too many rabbits here. But let me just tell you very quickly why I believe it. Simply because Jesus believed it. Jesus believed in a real heaven and a real heaven and a real hell as a real place, and so do I. We may say, well, I don't, you may say to me, I don't understand that. Well, join the crowd. I've had a few questions answered through this book, but not every single one of them. I've got questions about it too, but that doesn't mean we don't grab a hold of it, does it? Let me tell it to you this way, and then I'm going to move on. If you fall out of a ship, and you're out in the water, and you're not a very good swimmer, or you're an excellent swimmer, it matters not. You're out there in the water with no place. You're going to have to tread water, and you're going to do something. and a boat comes back by, swings back around, and they throw you a life preserver. Do you look up at them and say, well, now listen, I appreciate that life preserver and I will grab it, but you need to explain to me, where did this life vest come from? Who's the manufacturer of this life vest? Has it passed all of the safety requirement tests that's required of life vests? You don't ask that, do you? You just grab onto the sucker and float. But why do we try to make that we've got to understand everything about spiritual things, things of God, before we'll grab a hold of it? Listen, when you get thrown a life vest and you're in danger of drowning, you just grab the thing, don't you, and put it on. It's the same thing here. I can't explain it to you. We can't explain every single part about it. That's what I said earlier. God, you just can't. There's some things we can't understand. But that still doesn't keep us from grabbing the life preserver, does it? And it doesn't need to on this one. So when we understand that God cares enough to reveal himself, we understand that he cares enough to rescue us, we can live a life of thanksgiving, can't we? And there's one other thing that he does. He shows to us, and we can have a life of thanksgiving. Live a constant life of thanksgiving is really what I'm saying, because he cares enough to relate to us. The Bible tells us that we were made to have a relationship with God. And he chose, we were created as an object of his love, and we were chosen to love him back. And that's not a bunch of rules, that's not a religion. That's a relationship. And God cares enough about us that he created us that we could relate to him. He made it to where we could relate to him. God was using Christ to restore his relationship with humanity, but he didn't hold people's faults against them. Romans 5:11, now we can rejoice in what our wonderful new relationship with God is all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in making us friends with God. Have you ever thought about that? How far-fetched that sounds? Sometimes we read these passages, and I read these passages, and we go, oh, that's nice. But I want you to think for a second. How far-fetched that might sound, that God, the creator of everything, the all-powerful, chose to do something for us that we might be his friends. It really goes beyond friendship, doesn't it? It says we become brothers and sisters with Christ Jesus, so he becomes our father. We not only become friends with him, we become part of the family. And again, that's not a religion. That's not a bunch of rules. That's not a ritualistic thing that we must come and do. It's a relationship. And the quicker we understand that, the more deeper we understand that, the more we're going to live our lives. You say, well, how do you develop a relationship with him, with God? Well, the same way you develop a relationship with human beings. You spend time talking with them. You spend time with them. You get to know them. You let them get to know you. You trust them. All those attributes, all those actions that we talk about with getting to know and becoming friends with somebody applies to us in our relationship with God, doesn't it? Because he revealed himself, we can relate to him. I don't say that lightly. For us as human beings to relate to an almighty God, another one of those seems like a far-fetched idea, isn't it? But that's God's idea. That's God's plan. And we can live a life of constant thanksgiving because he chose to relate to us. Philippians 4:19, he says, God will meet all of your needs according to his riches, his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I was reading a story. It's a story of a young man. His name was Charles Murray. And talked about he was preparing for the Olympics. He was going to go to the Olympics, but he was also a student of the University of Cincinnati. And because he had never really been brought up in any kind of a religious background, he never really had been exposed to, never went to church. When he came to the university, he happened to be roommates with a guy who was a very, very strong believer. Began sharing with him about Jesus and constantly was telling him about God's love, about that God had a plan for his life, about how God had provided a rescue for him, and all these things that we've just been talking about, how much he mattered to God. One night he decided to call his Christian friend up, and he asked him, he said, tell me those verses again that says that God cares about me. And so his friend went through those verses in Romans and the different ones that we're familiar with. And Charles thanked him. He hung up the phone and decided he needed to mull things over a little bit. So he decided to go to the school swimming pool. It's an indoor swimming pool. Because he was preparing for the Olympics, he had special permission. He could go there after hours. And he went there in the building. It was an enclosed pool, so it was completely dark. And he swam a lot of times when it was dark. It was no big deal. So he climbed up on the 20-foot dive board, the platform. And as he turned around, preparing to do his kind of warm-up dives, which is like a back somersault or whatever it's called, he was stretching, and the way everything hit, because there was no lights on inside, the moon hit just right through the windows of that building. He tells the story of about how all of a sudden, the only thing he could see was this beautiful cross shining through that window. And it shined on him, and he said it just shut me down. He said that he just kneeled down on that platform on one knee and said, God, I understand. You got my attention. You've revealed yourself to me. I understand. I understand how much you love me. And so he, right there on that 20-foot platform, invited Christ in his life. And about that time, a janitor showed up and flipped on the lights. And at that point, he realized just how much God cared about him. Because you remember, he walked up on that platform. He was preparing to do his warm-up dive without the lights on. And when the janitor turned the lights on, he realized they had drained the pool that day. It was completely empty. God cares that much, doesn't he? He cares enough to reveal himself when we need him. May not realize, and Charles didn't realize he needed God right at that moment, did he? But he did when the lights came on. How much God had just saved him and rescued him. God does the same thing for you and I. He makes us friends. He makes us brothers and sisters in Christ. So really the question just becomes, what do we do? Well, it's just kind of like getting married. One day you stand before either a huge crowd, like my niece's wedding, or maybe it's a small crowd. And before the presence of those people and before the presence of God, you say, I do. That's the same thing you do with your relationship with God. When he reveals himself to us, we simply say, I do. We don't say, well, I need to know all the details. No, you don't need to know all the details. You're not going to know all the details. I don't think, while we're on this earth. But you know enough, don't you? We know enough. We know enough that he cared enough about us that he would come and he would reveal himself to us. Not only would he reveal himself to us, he would rescue us. And not only does he rescue us, he relates to us. Isn't that enough to say I do? Let's make sure we do that this morning before we leave. Amen.